You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
I love Jesus. How about you guys? Yeah. It's been fun today. Just studying in his word and getting ready for tonight and just letting the Holy Spirit guide me from one place to another to the next place. And as I was doing it, I kept getting hungrier. I don't know if is hungrier a word? I think so. I just kept getting more and more hungry. And I kept thinking to myself, man, I love to study the word. I love to study the word. But one of my biggest problems is studying the word. Like, I never make time enough to do it. It was cool this morning. The reason I knew that the Lord had something for you guys tonight was not because I'm speaking. That's silly. God can speak through any of you guys. But I woke up this morning. I've been kind of struggling with, like, sinus, allergy stuff. Anybody else? Yeah. And I felt really good yesterday, and I was like, yes, I'm going to be ready for Wednesday. And I woke up, and my head felt like it was going to explode. And I was like, no, and I have to preach tonight. Like, is there any way that I don't have to preach tonight? And the Lord suddenly grabbed my attention, and he said, yes, because I have something that I want to speak to them tonight. And the enemy is going to do everything that he can to prevent that from happening. And I got mad. Like, really mad. I got off the couch, and I was like, fine, I am studying. And I spent all day just preparing for tonight and just getting saturated in the word because I don't want the enemy to win. And so I want you guys to approach tonight and the beginning of this new series with that same ferociousness of I refuse to let the enemy win. I refuse to walk away empty-handed tonight. Can you do that, 1440?
Yes.
All right, good. I was hoping so. So, like I said, we're starting a new series tonight called Castaway. Has anybody seen the movie Castaway? Okay, a little more than I thought, so that makes me feel a little bit better about it. If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. And you may not know what that character is, but that's Wilson.
Yeah.
Just a little background. Wilson, you know, Tom Hanks. Everyone knows who Tom Hanks is. He's an actor. His character is on an island by himself. And, you know, I think for like 4 years or something like that, he spent on the island by himself. And he was like a FedEx guy, and he crashed. Like, his plane crashed in the middle of the ocean. And so as he was, like, on this island, like, different packages, like FedEx packages, which I don't like FedEx, but we won't go there. That's a totally different point. We're washing on shore, and he's, like, opening them and trying to find, like, you know, see if he can use anything from these packages. And one of them is a volleyball, a Wilson volleyball, to be exact. And during one of the scenes of the movie, he, like, cuts his hand and, like, throws the ball and makes that little handprint. And so he talks to the beach ball, or not beach ball, the volleyball throughout, like, the whole movie. It's kind of funny. It's kind of sad at the same time. You kind of connect with this volleyball like it's an actual person. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, you have to see it because it's quite hilarious. But the series is called Castaway. The reason we named it this because we want our goal with this series is to expose some lies of the enemy. And one of the biggest lies is that you are alone. And in that, you kind of, in that lie, you tend to form this island, if you will, where you're just by yourself. No one's there. Whether it be this attitude of, I don't need anybody, everyone just lets me down, or nobody understands me, I'm just alone. I don't have any friends. My family doesn't really care. Biggest lie of the enemy. We want to uproot that lie. And we're going to do that through the word of God. Because that's the only way we can conquer a lie is with truth, right? Yeah. So I want to start. I don't want you guys to turn there yet. I'm going to read this. It's 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive or into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's what we're going to do tonight. We're bringing this thought of, I'm alone, because if I asked everyone to raise their hand right now, if you've ever thought alone, I guarantee most of this room, yeah, I felt alone before, yeah, okay. So if we're going to bring this thought captive to the knowledge of God, we have to know what the knowledge of God is about this thought of being alone. David kind of hinted at it in worship. Matthew 28:20 says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That was Jesus speaking to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven. "I'm with you always." Always. Not sometimes. Not maybe on Tuesdays. Or only on Sundays and Wednesdays. Always. I mean, one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel. Does anyone know what that means? God with us. His name is God with us. I don't know how to get any more clear than that. God is with us. The other cool thing you see throughout the scriptures is whenever God calls someone, he promises to be with them. How many called people do I have in here tonight? Maybe not necessarily to ministry, but you're called, yeah? In Deuteronomy, he told the Israelites, "I'm going to be with you." Joshua, before he went to conquer the promised land, he said, "I'll be with you." Not only that, but God would remind them in moments where they may waver on that, like, "God, are you really with me? God, can I really do this?" And he would show up in a supernatural way to remind them, "Hey, I'm with you." I mean, Daniel in the lion's den, he closed the mouth of the lions. Or how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He showed up in the fire with them, and they came out of this blazing hot furnace that killed the guards who threw them in. It was that hot. And they didn't even smell like smoke. I'd say that's supernatural. Or how about this story? I got goosebumps reading this story today. So 2 Kings chapter 6. Starting in verse 16. "So he answered," this is Elisha, the guy after Elijah. I know, really confusing. I don't know why there was two prophets right next to each other with almost the exact same name. It's kind of confusing. But we're talking about Elisha. So he was the disciple of Elijah. Think, you know, J comes before S in the alphabet. So in this story, the kings of Syria are coming against Israel. And Elisha is talking to his kind of apprentice or servant, if you will, who is like, "There's a bunch of armies around us. What are we going to do? It's just us." And he says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. How cool is that? I still get goosebumps. God showed up supernaturally, and a whole army of heavenly hosts were surrounding Elisha. He told them to go, and God followed through. There's tons of other examples of this in the Word. I mean, you can talk about, you know, again with Joshua and the sun standing still. Hey, I'm with you. I'm going to make the sun stand still. Or King David, or Moses. I mean, Moses parted the Red Sea. I don't know, any of you can part the Red Sea by yourself? No. Without God? Okay, didn't think so. All right, and neither. So, from the examples in the Word, we find out that God is with us. No matter what, He's called you, He's with you. He's not going to forsake you, He's not going to leave you in any moment. No matter what your feeler feels. The other thing I want you to remember is that the devil is the father of lies. He can't speak anything but lies. So anything he says, expect the opposite to be true. It says his natural language is lies. Can you just get your head around that for a second? That means everything, like everything. Like the English, like think the English language. Like you speak English fluently. He speaks lies fluently. Ooh, hello, okay. His sole purpose, according to the Word, is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. It says in 1 Peter that he's like a lion seeking who he may devour. I was kind of curious about the whole lion analogy. You know, I think Lion King, that kind of thing. Don't know much about natural lions. You know, I've seen them at the zoo. So I was kind of curious, like how does a lion hunt? A lion uses his strength and his power to overcome his bigger prey. They hunt better alone and at night by stalking their prey. They watch their prey. Are they alone? Are they by themselves? And then they attack. Because they're not very fast. So they wait for a weak moment and attack their prey. They hunt alone and at night. Granted, sometimes they do hunt with other lions, but they say most of the time their successful hunts are when they're by themselves and at night. Alone and at night. It says in Ephesians 6 that we rule against the rulers of darkness. The enemy uses darkness against us. Or so he thinks. God counters and says that you are children of the light. That means you take on the properties of light, the characteristics of light, the nature of light. It says Jesus is the light. That means you take on Jesus' characteristics. You walk around as Jesus did on this earth. I don't think you could get very opposite from light and darkness. If we were to turn out all the lights in the room, it'd be dark, right? Catherine, will you turn off the lights? Kind of. It's kind of. Oh, there it goes. Okay. Oh. Dang it. Just kidding. Okay, so it's dark, right? Can't quite see. Anu, are you still there? Okay, he's still there. Just kidding. There he is. When light shines in the darkness, you see things more clearly. New, why are you wearing all black for? Anyway, okay, turn the lights back on. Anyway, just kidding, I love you, New. we know what the Word says, what God says about being alone, that you're not alone, that He's always with you. And you say, well, that's great, but I feel alone most in my relationships. Whether it be with your friends, with your family, maybe with your friends at church. Why do you think it is that the enemy wants you to believe the lie that you are alone in your relationships? Jeremy, why do you think the enemy wants you to feel alone?
Because if you're alone, then it's easier for him to lie to you. It's easier for him to really gain your trust.
True. Very true. What'd you say?
Nobody can turn you away.
Nobody can turn you away from it. That's a good one. Dalvin?
There's power in relationships.
Power in relationships? Yeah. Lizzie?
He can tell you the lie that no one loves you and that you repel.
Wow, that's a good one. She said he can tell you the lie that no one loves you and that you repel people. Huh. Malia? She said, where two or more come together, there crisis in the midst. Yeah. All right, I want to go to scripture, which Malia got me close to. I'm glad I didn't write that one in my notes, Malia. Just kidding. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for as he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You guys are so smart. The enemy wants you to be alone because alone, you can't fight him. You can't withstand him. I don't care how strong you think you are, how much you know the word of God, you cannot withstand the enemy on your own. That's why we have a three-stranded cord. You, God, and other people. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Yeah, come
on. Okay. In chapter 10, I'll give you a little background so you know what's going on. Paul is talking about the examples of the Old Testament and the things that those people went through. As far as, you know, the Israelites wandering through the wilderness for 40 years because they were disobedient to what the Lord asked them to do. They were fearful of the people of the land that God told them to conquer. And they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. They saw the size of the people instead of the size of their God. Yeah. So he talks about that a little bit. And he says in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. devil doesn't have new tricks, guys. If he finds one stronghold, he's going to keep going at that. He's not creative. He's not. He just might disguise it a little different. Different situation, but it's still the same thing. It's still the source of insecurity, just shaped a little differently. It's still the thought that I'm alone, just shaped a little bit differently. I want to challenge something in you guys. Can I do that?
Yeah.
There's this thought that we learn by experience. And in society and culture, they say, that's a good thing. You learn through experience, hands-on experience. Gonna learn by doing it. God doesn't want you to learn that way. God doesn't want you to learn by making mistakes, by experiencing the hardship that other people have already experienced. Do we? Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. God works all things for our good, including the mistakes we make that lead to hardship, the decisions we make that were the wrong decisions. He uses all of that for our good. But that's not what he wants for us. Lizzie, he doesn't want you to ever have to know the pain of heartbreak. He doesn't. That's not his perfect will for you. He doesn't want you to experience a whole bunch of boyfriends and learn the one that you're supposed to be with through that.
That's true.
That's so true.
He already knows the one for you. He already knows the qualities that he has.
Amen.
All you have to do is be obedient.
Yes, ma'am.
And you don't have to experience all the heartache. That's God's intention, is for us to learn from other people. And that's why he's put people in our lives that we can learn from. Parents, pastors, maybe parents of friends. That's what I meant to say. parents of friends. He's put older people, pardon the older, people that have been around longer than you in your life. That's why there's past generations. Your grandparents, your parents. Maybe even some of you have great-grandparents. Why do you think God in the Old Testament time and time again sent prophets to his people Israel? He wanted to prevent them from learning things the hard way. He told them in the very beginning, when he first met with Abraham, he said, this is what will happen if you break the covenant that I've set before you. This is what's going to happen. Well, Israel did what they weren't supposed to. And instead of in that moment that they sinned, sending down a lightning bolt to destroy them or wipe them off the face of the earth, he sent prophets. Hey, change what you think. Hey, change the way you're doing this. This is not what I have for you. This is not in line with the covenant. And he did it over and 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 over again. Until finally, he had to follow through on the covenant. He's a God of his word. And they had to learn the hard way. But in the midst of learning the hard way, he said, but if you should turn from your wickedness, I will restore you. goes back to what I said. He works all things for our good, even our mistakes. But that's not his original intent. Let's turn to Proverbs 1. In verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. Wise counsel comes from people who have gone before us, who have more experience, if you will, who've had some of the hardships, who've learned from, unfortunately, bad experiences sometimes and good experiences. That's how we gain godly and wise counsel. In Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You prosper through wise counsel. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that wise counsel is the person sitting next to us. Over the person outside in the car later waiting for you to get your butt in there so you can go home. There's a story in the Bible about a king who had a pretty good dad, I'd say. You know, they talk about him now as the wisest king that ever lived. Solomon, Bible nerd, yes. Yeah. King Solomon's son, King Rehoboam, despised wise counsel. In 1 Kings, the people came to him and said, hey, your dad was pretty tough. He was pretty strict. He did all this stuff to us, like we're tired. How are you gonna be? Are you gonna be like him? Or are you gonna take it easy on us? And Rehoboam went to the wise advisors who had been there alongside of his father, the old guys. And they said, yes, listen to these people. If you learn how to be a servant of these people, they're gonna serve you all of your days. They'll be loyal to you. Rehoboam was like, okay. So then he went to his buddies. And they said, no, you need to be harder than your dad. You need to be stricter than your dad. I think they compared it to scorpions. He said, like, your dad used whips. You should use scorpions. And he said, okay, sweet. I'm going to do that. You know what happened? The kingdom of Israel separated from Judah. And they took on another king. And that was the last time Israel was all together as one, all 10 tribes of the Bible. All because he took wise counsel and went and decided, these people who I grew up with, they know better than people who've consulted my dad, who gave my dad advice, the wisest king in the world. Choose your wise counsel wisely. Katrina, I'm glad you're here tonight, because I need your help for this next part. What is the one word I tell you can affect all of your decisions? What one word do you think about? Perspective. Perspective. People of wise counsel give you a different perspective than your own. Your friends, no offense, there's wisdom in good friends. I want you to have good friends, and I'm not saying they don't know anything, but your friends are in the same level as you. They're in the same stage of life. They're going through the exact same things you are, which is a good thing. You need to have good friends because then you can be like, hey, I'm dealing with this. Hey, I deal with this too. Let's be accountability to each other. Let's help each other through this. But people who have gone through it before, they're at a different perspective. And they can help you see what you don't. How many of you guys were in service a couple weeks? I think it was, maybe it was during the prayer conference, and I don't remember who it was. Whoever was speaking had four people come up. So, Malia, Madison, Lizzie, and Tessa, come here. I want you, face this way. Come here. Face this way. Tessa, face looking that way. Closer. There you go. Come here, Lizzie. And I want you to face that way. Lizzie, what do you see over there?
I see the front row.
Front row.
The window.
The window.
They're dancing.
And they're dancing.
The information / buy t-shirts / buy stuff from 1440. And that guy right there with the awesome fedora. The remix. And that stuff.
Okay, so you see all the stuff over there. Mm-hmm. Madison, what do you see?
Piano, drums, stage, band equipment, nightstand.
Okay, the stage, the screen, band equipment. Tessa, what do you see?
Trees.
Walls.
Reflections? Yes, in the glass.
Okay, I was like, what?
And
and curtains. Malia, what do you see?
People.
TV.
Cameras.
Yeah, cameras.
A sound booth. Couches. A lot of people.
A lot of people. Huh. You all saw something different. If I stand up here, I can see the trees, I can see the wall, I can see the sound booth, I can see all your pretty faces. I can see the sound booth. That's not the sound booth, that's the sound booth. That's the info counter. My bad. I can see the people that were dancing on the, I can see it all. What you couldn't see, she can see, she can see, she can see, and then I can see more than that. That's how it works in relationship. That's why it's important to have, one, you know, someone who's not at the same stage as you guys are, to see everything. Well, not everything, but you know what I'm saying. See more than what you're seeing. But then you also have friends that are at the same stage who see different things. Perspective. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Now, let's talk about the fun relationships.
Yes.
The ones with your parents. Yeah. Hey, careful. You have some parents in the room, okay? Some of your parents are in the room. Be careful. All right. Proverbs 1 still. I'm going down to verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck." What the heck does that mean? King Solomon wants to point out that the benefits of listening to wise counsel, to listening to your parents, has tangible benefits. When you listen to what your parents say, you're happier, right? For the most part, because you're not grounded. Yeah, because you get to do things that you'd like to do. Well, when you don't listen to your parents, kind of stinks, right? That's what he's saying, tangible benefits to obeying your parents. Fun word, discipline. Breathe. What does the word say about discipline? Hebrews 12. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers or mothers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subject? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Shall we not much more readily be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, for a few days, chastened to us as seemed best to them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Punishment, painful, you know, discipline, not always the most joyful thing. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline yields righteousness. Yes, you are the righteousness of God. Yes, yes. But you have to grow up in that. Your spirit is righteous. Your body, your mind and emotions need a little work, a little training, a little discipline. And just like the illustration before, your parents see more than you do. They know more than you do. Yes, they do. They've been around a lot longer than you have. They've like graduated high school, saying. Very funny. But our usual response, instead of coming to what the word says about it, whether it be the discipline, whether it be, you know, going and talking to people that are older than us or know more than us, is, I know more than they do. I don't need them. My parents don't know anything anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do. I know more. Let's be honest with ourselves. We've all run across those thoughts at some point. I'm not asking you to say it out loud. That's between you and God. That's pride. And that's one way that the enemy starts to make us feel that we're alone. The spirit of pride. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Why is it that we take what the world says teenagers should be? They should be rebellious. They should talk back to their parents. Parents don't know anything anyway. You know more. I mean, we see it in TV shows all the time. We see it in movies all the time, right? So why do we let them speak for us? Why do you guys let them speak for you? It's easy when we live in the world to become part of the world. But we are called to live in this world but not be of it. So why are we adopting this mentality of, I don't need anyone. I don't need my parents. I don't need wisdom. I don't need any of that. I know better. I'm going to do it my own way. When, according to Christ, in John 5, he says he did nothing without his Father. He didn't say a single word without first hearing it from his Father. He didn't do anything until he heard it from his Father. Why are we trying to do life on our own? If Jesus didn't do it, what makes us think we can do it? Now, I'm not saying, you know, you only say what your parents say and every word has to come. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. But the word does tell us to abide in Christ and he will abide in us. And if Christ abides in the Father, and we abide in him, then we abide in the Father. I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like a relationship to me. Yeah. That kind of sounds like I'm not alone. Yeah. Or how about in Romans? Yeah, Romans chapter 12. I'm going to turn there. You guys don't have to. He says to us, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. A few verses down, he says, be of the same mind towards one another. In verse 18, he says, if it's possible as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If he didn't want you to have relationship with other people, why would he say this? Doesn't want you to be alone. That's why you were born into a family. You could have just hatched out of an egg all by yourself. But as original intended, you're born into a family to help you grow and develop into the person you were called to be. Without that, it's a little tough. Some of you have experienced the absence of parents. Whether it be physical absence or just busy or doing other things. It's tough. It's not the original intent. In Proverbs 13:10 it says, "But pride by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom." Whenever you hear the word strife, I want you to immediately think the spirit of division. The spirit of division is the root of strife. Because the enemy doesn't want you to be a team, doesn't want you to be with other people. He wants you to be divided. Because a house divided can't stand. Yeah. So division looks like envy and strife. Magnifying your differences in a negative way. The other thing the enemy uses to make you feel alone, the spirit of rebellion, disobedience, because it causes strife with you and the authorities above you, whether that's your parents, whether that's teachers, whether that's pastors, it causes strife, which leads back to the spirit of division. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, the thought, "I am alone," is a thought, right? So we take it captive. The enemy wants you to get his way of thinking in your head. Because if he gets those in your head, the way you think dictates what's in your heart. In your heart, who you are. And from your heart comes life. But if he's poisoned it with thoughts of "I'm alone" and lies, you begin to think that's who you are. That you're unlovable, that you're rejected, that nobody loves you. We have to change the way we think. I know I gave a lot of scripture tonight, but that was on purpose. I don't want you guys ever to take anything that we say up here and just be like, "Oh, okay." You guys are old enough, I believe, to feed yourself, both physically and spiritually. So the reason Pastor John gave you all those notes was so that you could feed yourself and not just take everyone else's word for it. When you do that, you can hold those lies up against the word of God. How many scriptures did I list saying that you weren't alone? A lot. So every time that thought comes in your head, you say, "No, that's not what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says. He says he will never leave me or forsake me. He's with me always. He set parents above me to teach me godly wisdom." You guys have to feed yourselves on the word of God to uproot the lies that you're alone. Guys, I dealt with it. I deal with it still sometimes. But like I always say also, Cap, the other thing I always say, what's the other thing I always say? You always have a choice. You can believe it if you want, or you can be free from it and realize you're not alone. That's what we want for you guys. Freedom.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.